Let's read from verse 19. We have gone over some of these things, but just for connection, beginning verse 19, that's 2 Peter chapter 2. While they promise, these are the basically false teachers. They come in among the Christians in the churches. They promise them liberty. They themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to make a point here. It says, for if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it does not mean that they have been saved. It just means that they have the knowledge. Now, I'm going to try to explain that later. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They have never been saved. Okay, now, verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22, but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Let's just read a couple of verses from chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. Now, these wicked people, these false teachers that have come in, and they are extremely, extremely selfish, extremely evil, and they try to gain prominence in the meetings, and they try to teach things that appeal to the flesh. For example, they try to teach liberty, but then liberty to them means impurity, that you could do things unrestrained, immoral behavior, unrestrained, and they were unrestrained in sensual enjoyment. And they were covetous. Their example was Balaam. And, of course, the son of Beor, who heard the word of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, and yet he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam was trying to destroy. He would destroy all the children of Israel just so he could be preeminent and make money, take all that Balak was willing to pay him. Now, it's very hard to understand today that how one man, could be so wicked as to disregard multitudes and multitudes upon of people. But it has happened in our lifetime. Stalin wiped out over 20 million people of his million because they were what he thought was in opposition to his philosophies. Hitler wiped out at least 6 million Jews whom he didn't even know. He didn't know. And most of them were from out of Germany. Yes, human beings are capable of being so wicked. and entice the people of God to deadly sin. And then, of course, the result is they are trained in covetousness. And so the awful curse of God must come upon the wicked people. They have to come upon wicked people. And then Peter says they're also dangerous. They're very dangerous. They gather followers and entice them to destruction. Very dangerous people. And their condition is miserable. They are themselves slaves of the devil, slaves of corruption. Peter goes on and on and on and describes the characters of these false teachers. They have yielded themselves up to the evil one. And then he goes on to say that their case is hopeless. Now, this is amazing that a person could be so bad and reject Christ after he has heard about Christ and after he has known about Christ's promises of salvation, his capability of saving people, and after knowing and hearing about the goodness of God, and after knowing and hearing that he could be saved, and he rejects and rejects and rejects and rejects, and then his heart gets hardened. And he says, Peter says, comes a time where these people are hopeless. There are people today that are apostates. They are hopeless people. They're false teachers. They're hopeless people. Now, the problem is with us, I don't know who they are. So I can't say, hey, this guy is hopeless, so I'm not going to preach to him. I don't know if that guy is hopeless or not. But there are people who are hopeless. I do try to witness to everyone. And sometimes some people are very hard. But I witness anyway because I don't know who is hopeless and who is not hopeless. But there are people who are hopeless. And these people, their case is more hopeless than ever. It says the last state is worse than the first. It says Satan had him once, now he has him again. Now, what does that mean? Well, they're still under the dominion of the devil. They have never been saved. But for a while, as they have learned more and more about the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, then, and this happens a lot, even today, then they may say, well, I'm going to try to keep the law, or I'm going to try to basically turn over a new leaf or a new chapter in my life, that I'm going to try to do good because I have been bad, and I shouldn't be bad any longer, that I should basically pursue good things. So they try to kind of turn over a new leaf. But Satan would not let them go, because even though they're trying to become upright in their own eyes, they're still under the dominion of the devil, because they have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. They have not been born again. They once knew the way of righteousness, but that knowledge is now lost. The apostate had the word and doctrine of righteousness, but then they are again back under the power of the devil, the complete power of the devil. And we read that sin against light is more deadly than sin of ignorance. Now, what does that mean? Well, the greater the light, the deeper is the sin of those that love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The greater the light, the greater the responsibility. It's like Judas. Judas Iscariot was with the Lord, with all the other apostles. He was declared by the Lord Jesus Christ to be an apostle. And he followed the Lord Jesus Christ as they all did. And what's so amazing is that he enjoyed all the graces of Lord Jesus Christ when he fed everyone. He was fed. He was the treasurer of the 12. He was a thief from the beginning. And he was empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ to perform miracles. They came back to the Lord Jesus and said, even the demons were subject to us. They went and healed, and basically they came back and they were just so excited because they were empowered by the Lord to go and to basically preach and heal and do miracles, perform miracles like the Lord did, and they did. And Judas was one of them. And yet the Lord said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Judas never received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. He didn't receive him and got lost, because Judas was never a believer. And then, of course, the man who thus sins against light, the Bible says, of how much sorrow punishment, suppose ye, shall he be worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified and holy thing, and of course hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. And Peter is bringing an example of how this happens, and he is borrowing from Proverbs 26, verse 11, that this person has returned to wallow in the mire of uncleanness. He says, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Now, that's pretty serious. Peter is saying that it would have been better for those people, these false teachers, not to have known the way of righteousness or the way of truth, like how to be saved. They knew, apparently, how to be saved, how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, but they would not, because they were under the dominion of the devil. They knew the right way. Not that ignorance is good, but it would have been a lesser evil than them knowing so much and completely forsaking the Lord Jesus Christ and getting under the complete dominion of the devil. It's lesser evil if they were ignorant. We don't want to be ignorant because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, here's what he says. He says, they are as the dog that is turned to his own vomit. And this is where we see that mentioned in Proverbs 26, verse 11. A dog that is turned into his own vomit. Now, here's what that means. First of all, the fact is that the dog that vomited one time was still a dog, and he is still a dog. In other words, he is still unclean. That dog was never saved. He didn't become a sheep of the Lord, because the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man fetch them or take them or be able to take them from my hands, out of my hands. So this dog never became a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happened to the dog was that apparently there was something so repulsive within him, such uncleanness within him, that he couldn't take it, that he wanted to kind of vomit. So he went ahead and vomited out what was defiling him on the inside, so he could get a respite from that defilement. So what did he do? He turned a new page, maybe, or a new chapter in his life, tried to do good. But then he found out that he couldn't do good, that he was still a dog, and he was still unclean, and he was still under the dominion of the devil. But then he got so bad. Listen to this. The dog got so bad that what he had vomited out one time became so attractive that he went and began to eat that again. Now, I'm being very blunt. One time he, because of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God's righteousness and his saving power, he tried to change his life, and he went ahead and all that filth and uncleanness within, he threw out, he threw up. But then he went right back after a short while, and became worse, to the point where that vomit became so attractive to him that he would go and start eating it again. And that's exactly what it means, that as the dog that is turned to his own vomit after he was vomited. So basically, he returned to the filthy nature of sin. And this is the character of the false teachers. These apostates have the characters of filth. They are filthy. They are very extremely, extremely selfish, uncaring, unloving. Me, myself, and I, and nobody else. They're compared to dogs and swine. Of course, the dog and swine. What happened is that the dog went and ate that vomit, so that's the internal corruption. He went back into the internal corruption, what's within. But then what happened to the soul? He returns to the external filth. He goes back. While he's been washed for a while, he still is a pig, swine. He doesn't change into a sheep of the Lord. But then he goes back into the mud, the external corruption. So these false teachers are going back to internal corruption and as well as external corruption. They're doing everything outside that is immoral, that is contrary to the Word of God. And within, inside, there's selfish pride of the eye, pride of life, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. They return to what they were before. Their reformation is temporary. Their evil natures are not changed. I want to force this because a lot of people may read this portion and say, oh, well, they got saved and they got lost again. No, they were never saved. The dog never became a sheep of the Lord. Swine never became sheep of the Lord. He didn't know them, and they didn't know him. So, sinning gives light. To fall from grace involves the most awful danger. And these people, they knew they had the light. Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. And this involves the most awful danger, and is what it says. It says it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. There is a time where an ungodly person is so controlled by the devil that he doesn't have a chance to get saved. Judas says he went out and it was night. The Lord Jesus had dealt with him and dealt with him and dealt with him throughout all his ministry. And Judas yet left him and he went. And it was night, and that was it. That was it. It's impossible to renew them again unto repentance. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of the living God. Fearful thing. Now, in very briefly, in chapter 3 now, you have in chapter 2 the false teachers. In chapter 3, he deals with scoffers, with mockers. And the main point is, where is the promise of his coming? Here you people go and you preach that the Lord is going to come and receive us unto himself, what he is, there we may be also. And well, where is it? Why hasn't he come? Instead of being grateful and thankful that he hasn't come, otherwise they'd be in hell. But they're scoffers. And they're mocking people and say, where is it? And here, Peter is such a warrior for the Lord now. It's not the same Peter that denied the Lord 3 times. But then he is the same that went out and wept bitterly. And he's the same man when the Lord asked him, says, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, I love thee. Yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And now he is ready. He's a trained soldier. He is ready to put his life on the line. And he is writing and he is feeling great affection to these people in Asia Minor. A lot of those people whom he had never seen before. And he calls them beloved, beloved, 4 times in the chapter. And he's trying to comfort them in the presence of outside persecutions, as we saw in 1 Peter, as Brother Haley did such a wonderful job, I thought, bringing before us the persecutions that they were suffering from outside, the government and the neighbors, the other Jews, and so on. But now it's from within. And he is calling them beloved. He says, look, You just hang in there. Cling to the word of God. Cling to the promises of God. Cling to the Lord Jesus Christ and all of his promises. And all those things are going to come to pass as they have come to pass in the past. And that's what we're going to pick up next week in the will of the Lord. Thank you so much.